to the Voice of Balito, Radio Life and Style, 88.0 FM.
28 and a half minutes to 3 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon. And once again, it's time for Uncensored with Penny Faree.
Good afternoon, everyone. Joining us in the studio today is Warwick Chapman. Warwick is a well-respected local political commentator who's provided invaluable insights over the past few weeks pre- and post-general elections. And Warwick also serves as the chairman of the Kwadukuza Residents Forum, KDRF, which is a civic action group dedicated to representing and advocating for the interests of Kwadukuza residents. So welcome, Warwick. And we also have Walter Shota. He's the founder and chairman of the civic group, Ilembe Civic Action Movement, ICAM. And ICAM's mission is to hold local authorities and all relevant departments in our municipality accountable. Welcome, both of you. So today we're going to be diving into the unfolding saga of Kwadukuza Municipality's newly reinstated Chief Financial Officer, Shamir Rosh Kumar. Now, for those of you who have not heard, Shamir reported to duty yesterday in his capacity as reinstated Chief Financial Officer of Kwadukuza Municipality after he had been placed on precautionary suspension since July last year. So it was a major victory for our community and for the civic groups who have rallied behind the CFO. Now, from the start, KDRF and KDM sought urgent relief from the courts after KDM denied them access to their hearings. However, this is not without drama. In leaked messages last week, a new development was added to the mix. And I'm going to play you a voice bite from Action SA's caucus leader for Kwadukuza, Nal Suraj, on what unfolded at a special council meeting last Wednesday and then the council meeting that took place last Thursday as well. So take a listen to this.
On Wednesday, a special meeting was called by the council to consider the options pertaining to the withdrawal of the suspension of the CFO. Present was a full complement of opposition parties and councillors, but unfortunately not the same for the ANC. There were about one third, at least only about 10 ANC councillors that were present. The reason being that many of them have been facing threats, and these threats have been circulating on social media. And these threats have been stating that if the CFO is reinstated at Kwadukuza Municipality, that he will disappear. And those in support of his reinstatement and their families could suffer the same fate. So council instructed these councillors that were directly threatened to lay charges and open cases with SAPS immediately. Because many of the councillors believe that the source of the threat was internal, which is coming probably from officials in Kwadukuza Municipality. Anyway, back to the item. The item was deliberated for several hours. And although the MM provided options, we can say that his options were truly, truly not kosher with the council. I can't disclose what the options were or the recommendations, because the item was, of course, an in-committee item. But in my personal view, I can safely say that the MM's tone was not neutral. It appears that he does not want council to revoke the CFO suspension. Anyway, to cut a long story short, and since it's public knowledge now, and even was brought up, the matter was been mentioned in our public full council yesterday regarding the revoking of the CFO suspension. So basically, at that meeting, council moved for the withdrawal of the CFO suspension and for the rescinding of its previous decision to suspend the CFO, believing that we were misled as a council. And so we are rescinding the past decision, revoking his suspension, and calling for his reinstatement. And that was received. And that's how the meeting concluded. But anyway, there's some new developments. As early as our full council meeting yesterday, it has come to my attention from reliable sources that those in Kwadukuza Municipality who have sought the demise of the CFO are attempting to concoct another allegation against the CFO. These may include the mayor, the municipal manager, and possibly a few senior managers. And I'm sure it's those who have been looting the coffers, and especially those who have been colluding with contractors to loot the 1.2 billion flood disaster grant. So basically, they brought an item to council, to the full council yesterday, which was the 27th of June, and it was item C1657.
And yeah. It was an item... You know, we can discuss the second item, I think, in another discussion, but just going on this, I'm going to ask Warwick, you know, considering that this issue dates back to 2018 and Raj Kumar's legal team has claimed in court papers that corruption and irregularities influence the council's decision to suspend him, Warwick, do you believe the trust in KDM's leadership has been irreparably damaged? Additionally, how can ratepayers have confidence that the municipal manager and the senior officials are acting in the best interest of Kwadukuza, given their actions in the past couple of months?
Well, Penny, I have previously called for the resignation or removal of the municipal manager. I think it's very hard for us as residents, as ratepayers, as people whose tax money is being spent in this municipality, to accept a scenario where it is now beyond clear that the municipal manager has been using his position and our money to pursue a personal vendetta against Mr. Shamir Rajkumar, our chief financial officer. And the ANC said as much in that astounding statement that they put out at a provincial level just before the election, where the ANC took the very unusual step of issuing a statement in support of the CFO, and while not naming the MM directly, the municipal manager, the statement made vague reference to officials that are getting in the way, that are interfering, that are blocking. You can join the dots for yourself based on what Nell Suraj just said in that recorded message. So confidence from our perspective in the municipal manager, I think, has been destroyed. The MM has taken no steps to communicate his position, to justify the expenditure of what appears to be 3 to 4 million rand by now, pursuing Mr. Rajkumar for something that the municipality had investigated, the committees had investigated and cleared him of a long time ago. And even if they hadn't cleared him, if they had found him personally responsible, it was for expenditure to the tune of 30-odd thousand rand, 40,000 rand, and maybe he could have been asked to pay that in his personal capacity, and then the municipality would have at worst lost 37,000 rand, at best lost nothing, certainly not millions of rands of legal fees spent pursuing a personal vendetta. So I don't see how the MM can continue to hold that role. Certainly, I can tell you that from a human perspective, it's going to be very difficult for the two most influential managers in our municipality to work constructively together in the CFO and the MM, given this background.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned about that, and I once again would like to call for the MM to stand down under the circumstances. I think calling for a resignation under the circumstances is entirely reasonable.
Yeah. And you know, Walter, the legal costs of the entire matter, which was borne by the ratepayers, so they've said it was over 3 million, and we've done our calculations. On January the 19th, I attended a High Court matter where the legal counsel of KDM were there to appeal on a judge's ruling taken in September the year before on the two matters with regards to Shamir's case. The first was an appeal process where he wanted it to be a public, transparent matter, where the civic organizations had lodged an application. And the second application was they were calling for the voting system, they said, showed there were irregularities and corruption. And they wanted to set aside to redo that whole vote or possibly reinstate the CFO. And basically, the judge ruled in their favor. KDM appealed the ruling, and then we attended a High Court matter, and then she once again took it off the roll, and KDM had to go and with costs which obviously they had to pawn. So yesterday, the sheriff's office arrived at Kwadukuza Municipality because they haven't paid those costs, the legal costs from that day, to attach goods in the municipality. And then apparently there was 60,000 rand paid by the municipal managers to ensure that the goods weren't attached for the legal bills that KDM had not paid. So, Walter, now with this, all these liabilities, do you think now this is fruitless and wasteful expenditure? And how is someone who's continuing to do this with ratepayers' money not being held accountable?
Yes, Penny. So I'd like to echo Warwick's comments here in terms of I believe the MM should be, he should step down. I honestly believe he's just acted with impunity.
Yeah.
The law, the legal people totally disagreed with what he was wanting to put forward. It was clear from the outset that there were issues. Because for me, if the original council decision was to suspend, what's changed in the terms of that original vote to the new vote? What changed? There was alleged that there was envelopes handed out as well to back that, but I mean that's allegations. So I believe there should be a complete investigation, and beyond the municipal manager stepping down, there has to be an investigation into who or how these funds can be recovered, because at the end of the day, it is total wasteful and fruitless expenditure. And in the AG's report, going back many years, they call it clean audits, but there's constantly in there red flags, no consequence management. Municipal manager's office has a lot of wasteful, fruitful expenditure going back in the past as well, and it's continued. So my personal thing is, what's the purpose of the Auditor General's report if things aren't done, and they're constantly being hammered on that? So I also like to I believe that possibly the change in attitude was also pressure mounting from civic organizations, and the recent petition that was also put out, you know, that probably added to the wanting to change, because I also believe that there were letters or the council was actually said in some way that those who voted with to have him suspended could also be held personally liable. So we don't know. So that's really interesting. But I do believe that civic organizations, we should push for a thorough investigation into this whole matter. And besides the MM having to step down, we should see how we can recover those costs and who needs to cover those costs.
Let's take a short commercial break. We'll be back with Penny Fauri and Uncensored.
At Suzuki Salt Rock, we love our customers and we love our Dolphin Coast community. As a family-owned business, we're passionate about supporting your motoring needs with new and used car sales, genuine parts, and an expert service center. We even offer collection and drop-off for our service clients. Visit our dealership in Umhlali Village opposite Cindy's and view the Suzuki Salt Rock Facebook page for the latest deals today.
88 live from the center of Ballito.
And we're back with Uncensored with Penny Fauri.
Yes, so there's this critical drama that's been unfolding. There's been threats against officials in the municipality who have been supporting Shamir Roshkuma's reinstatement. And Shamir also has received death threats. And yesterday, as his first day back at work, the community once again rallied behind Shamir and their support, and they basically paid for private security to escort him to the municipal offices in Stanger to ensure his safety, and they're going to be continuing with that until the threat has basically been proven that it's fallen away. And until that, we need to put more highlight the issue. Now, from the start, everyone was saying that Shamir was the gatekeeper to this 1.2 billion, but apparently it's 1.9 billion. I stand corrected if that is the wrong figure. 1.9 billion rand was given by Treasury to Kwadukuza for flood relief. And there are allegations that there were a number of contractors who awarded contracts for work that was actually not done. They were paid for work that was not done. And those are the people that are allegedly you know, pushing the heels back and bringing Shamir back. So how do we put this out in the public arena? I have approached DOCRA, and they're going to be supporting me in this. And I said, why don't we, as a community, take each project ward by ward and analyze the money spent, the contractor who did the work, whether he did the work, whether he was paid for the work, and just look at the bill of quantities to see if that can be determined. Do you think the civic organizations should be pushing for more transparency with Treasury to ensure that this needs to come out? You know, it's an elephant in the room, and we need to air it, because if lives are being threatened, how are we going to protect them? Or is it our job to?
So in my personal opinion, I'd like to see a lot more public oversight of many aspects within municipalities' dealings. I know that we can sit in council meetings and people can attend the some of the committee meetings, etc. But I don't. We might have a small input, but I don't think we have enough oversight. So almost call it, there should be some public representation sometimes on these tender boards, even to look at who's getting the tenders, etc. And brings about a lot more transparency to us as being the ratepayers, etc. In the municipality.
Can I just, as a pure layman on the outside, say, is this not the function of the ward councillors? They are our legal representatives, surely.
Not really. Ward councillors are our elected representatives, and they're there to represent us in the council, in strictly speaking, in the role of the formulators of municipal regulations. So they're the strict role of the council is as a legislative body to come up with bylaws and things like that, that will be implemented by the city's officials.
So then, who keeps a watch on the public purse and the overview that needs to be brought to bear on malfeasance of this sort? Because if the ward councillors who are in those meetings and party to those discussions are not empowered to do that, who then is? Surely there's a gap in the market here.
So there is a municipal structure called the Municipal Public Accounts Committee, and normally the MPAC committee, as it's called, is chaired by someone from a party that is not the party of government. So that's pretty standard. The MPAC committee, as it turns out, is one of the committees in the council that did clear the CFO, Mr. Shamir Rajkumar, of the concerns around wasteful expenditure. And then there's the Auditor General's office. The AG's office is a national structure that audits the accounts of all public entities, municipalities, provinces, national departments, that kind of thing. And MPAC, the Auditor General's office provides a report every year for each municipality. And, that report makes for interesting reading. And the good folks at DOCRA are very, very good at digesting the details of those kinds of reports. And it would be good to discuss that as a regular item on the calendar every time the AG's report for KDM is released, because I think it's worth people knowing about that. And then obviously there's a role for civic organizations to play, literally what I've just suggested about DOCRA and their analysis of a lot of these reports and things, and also just people being alert and aware. And then there are appointed officials, like the Chief Financial Officer, who have a legal obligation to make sure that the finances of public entities like the municipality are legal. So there are lots of mechanisms in place, and at the end of the day, it really boils down to the attitude to consequence management. So if you have, for example, a provincial department of cooperative governance that doesn't really care about consequences and isn't going to hold municipal managers and CFOs accountable, well, then that's one chink in your armor. That's one.
And they failed. Failed. Yeah, they have failed consistently in that department.
As of the new government of national unity, or government of provincial unity, as they clumsily call it, we now have a minister of cooperative governance who comes from the Inkatha Freedom Party. And hopefully we're going to see some more enthusiasm around consequence management there.
Yeah. You know, they say a house divided in itself shall not stand, and we are seeing there's so much division and factionalism within the ANC at the moment that it's almost impacting service delivery in our municipality. Walter, how is this going to, you know, going forward, is there a possibility that we're going to continue with this power play that we see unfolding, and we almost like these helpless, you know, we're standing on the side watching this unfold. You know, how do we enact something there?
Yeah, so how I'm seeing it is that based on the current results in the election, they can go one of two ways. They can either carry on down the path of what they've been doing, destroying, in my opinion, although we're still up there as one of the better municipalities, thank goodness. However, yeah. Or they can pull their socks up and really band together and say, well, why are we in this position? I know local and national elections do sometimes are different to a point, but it's an indication of how the people are thinking. So pull our socks up and get to work and deliver to the people, hopefully changing the minds of the people. So it could bring them together. It could still keep them apart. I do believe that if we look at the shenanigans, but the opinions going around about the governments of national unity, and that there is division within those camps, mm-hmm. and there's differing opinions. But I do believe there's a consensus to allow it and see how it goes, works out. But I do believe, so it, for me, it's one of two ways. But I think it might galvanize them and get them to start delivering.
Yeah.
And there it is. That was another edition of Uncensored with Penny Faree. If you've only just tuned in and are wondering what you missed, don't worry. It'll be up as a podcast in the course of this afternoon on our platforms. Free download of the apps available at the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. Radio, Life and Style. Go on to the afternoon show and you will find Uncensored with Penny Faree. And there we leave it for another week, when we will be back again with yet another edition. The afternoon show continues.